So, all right. Tonight, I just want to draw to your attention. It's the end of the year. When you know, I was an accountant before I got into the full-time ministry, and even sometime while I was in ministry. But one of the things that year-end meant was taking inventory. And that's what this little piece of paper is about. That's your handout there, New Year Spiritual Inventory Checklist. Some good verses there that I found as I was studying for this. Take a look at Lamentations 3:40 there. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Haggai 1, both verse 5 and verse 7 say the same thing. You know, say if God says something one time, you need to pay attention. If he says something more than one time, you really need to pay attention. He said, consider your ways. Now, it's kind of calling for you to evaluate things, isn't it? Evaluate. And that's what we're talking about tonight. 1 Corinthians 11:28, of course, with the context of that being the Lord's table. And we call on you every time we have the Lord's table to examine yourself. And that's also taking the inventory in it. And then Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, which is the basis of one of my favorite songs, Cleanse Me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And then 1 John 3, verse 20 and 21, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But if our heart can condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Just here at the end of the year, it's a great time to take a look at your life and check up on things in your life. For some of you may have had a difficult year this year, and you're just glad for this year to be over. Some of you may have had a great year in some ways. You may have reached some milestones in your lives, or you may have been extra blessed by the Lord during this year, or may have had some wonderful accomplishments in your life by God's grace. But, you know, as we take a look at the past year, we take a look at our lives right now, we need to evaluate, where are we? Where does God want us? And where are we in relation to where God would have us to be? And like I said, when I worked in the accounting industry, I spent a lot of time at year-end counting and checking inventory for various clients. We'd go in and do test counts of the inventory. Usually the clients themselves would take the inventory, and we'd just go in and make sure that the employees didn't fudge. You know, you do this test count to make sure that they didn't do the inventory and say, well, let's just get rid of this thing. That looks like about 15, or that looks like about like 20. And then you're just not really taking inventory, not really taking a true count. But can I tell you that the end of the year is a good time to take spiritual inventory? Inventories are important because they can reveal both strengths and weaknesses in our lives. Strengths and weaknesses. Inventories are important because they can reveal our present fitness for meeting the demands of the future. Now, with regard to our spiritual lives, inventory can reveal where do we stand with God? Is God pleased with where I'm at today? Where do we stand with others? Well, how's my relationship with other people? The people that I have relationships with, how do I stand with them? And then where do we stand within? You know, the inner man, the man that you know, the man or woman that you know, that nobody else really knows. How is that person doing? How are you really doing? You know, we can all put on a facade, can't we? You can put on outside. Folks think things are okay. But man, inside, you could be just a mess. And no doubt there are folks who are a mess. But the passage of Haggai 1, verses 5 and 7, the Lord asked his people to consider their ways. Now, things had not been going so well for them. You study the context there. God was essentially telling them that they needed to look at what they were doing, look at the things they valued, because some of the things just weren't right. They had more value of their own personal things than they had of the things of God. And you know, a lot of times we can start drifting in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual lives, and we can drift to such a point that we get away from the Lord and don't even recognize that we've drifted as far as we have. And we should look at our lives periodically, and I always recommend that we do it at the end of the year and the beginning of a new year, but that's not the only time we should do it. I think we should do it on a regular basis. I know whenever I was a low man on the totem pole, just started working in an accounting firm. I was still going to college, still in junior college at the time. One of my responsibilities in that accounting firm was taking the inventory for that accounting firm as far as their office supplies. And that we did that on a regular basis. It's like every month I had to do that. Well, it's probably a good idea to kind of keep this little checklist around. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it where you read your Bible. And look at these things that are listed here. That can be a help to you. Now, it's not all-inclusive. I mean, there's probably some things you could add to it. And that's why it's got some lines on the back. You want to add some, okay? You mess up with the 16, go with the 17, 18, 19, 20 if you want to. But if you see something I missed, then you add to that. If you know something you need to check up that's not on the list, that's a good thing to do. But I want to consider this matter of taking inventory in our lives. The purpose of a periodic inventory, ever how often that you do it, the purpose of an inventory is to determine whether what we are doing is profitable for our owner. Who owns us? The Lord. He bought and paid for us, didn't he? And we're bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Are we making spiritual progress in our lives? Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And I'm going to be a little slower tonight. I don't have mine marked tonight. 2 Peter 3. Look at verse number 17 and 18. Second Peter 3, verse 17, says, "Ye therefore," and he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, "ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." And he's talking about that drift that I'm talking about. You know, you drift away from God, drift away from your steadfastness in Christ, drift away from the things that you, where you know you need to be at. And he says, verse 18, you know, not only guard from falling from the steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now, when he talks about growing in grace and in knowledge, you know, a lot of times we think knowledge, you know, we're storing up facts about God or storing up facts about Jesus. That's not the knowledge he's talking about. He's talking about knowledge that comes from your experience in Christ. Okay, experiential knowledge, not just things about the Lord. And we need to grow in our experience with the Lord in our lives, him living his life through us. Does that make sense? Are we making progress in our spiritual lives? 1 Peter 2:2, of course, we know says, "As newborn babes, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby." But here we're told to grow in grace even after we're babes. Are we reaching our spiritual goals? Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And these are all passages that you'll find preachers preaching on this time of year. Amen. It's just these things relate to the checking up and the things are in the past and the things are in the future and what our relationship to those things is supposed to be. Philippians 3, verse number, let's take a look at verse 12. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." In other words, Paul said, I haven't arrived in my Christian life. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, what is he talking about there? Well, why did Jesus save Paul? Well, if you look back to his call, the Lord revealed to him and said, there were some things in his life that he knew was going to be a part of his of what the Lord wanted him to do. And he's saying, you know, I want to make sure that I'm the thing that Christ apprehended me for, that I am reaching that, that I'm pushing that. Look at verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not arrived. The Lord's not done with me yet. If he was done, if he's done with Paul, Paul would not be around anymore. But the Lord is still using him. And he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul could have let his past get him down. He could have focused on the past before he knew Christ and how he had persecuted Christians and done people wrong in a bad way. And had he focused on that, he would have not accomplished very much in his Christian walk. He chose to focus on Christ. And when he focused on Christ, there was a goal. There were things that the Lord wanted him to do. And that's when he talked about pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord had given him a goal to reach forth. He was reaching unto those things that were before. And he says there in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And that's a good thing too. You know, the checklists are fine. This is be a help to you. But you also need to say, Lord, you know, is there any other thing in my life that I need to be working on? If so, please show me. And he will do it at. He will. He'll in your Bible study, your Bible time, if you'll be faithful to get into the Word of God and you be faithful to pray, the Lord will make up the gaps that my feeble list may miss. But we see that we need to be making spiritual progress. We need to be reaching our spiritual goals. And you can't reach a goal if you don't have one, can you? Just can't. And are we pleasing the owner? We need to ask ourselves, is our life profitable to the one who owns it? Are you profitable to the Lord Jesus Christ? He wants you to be profitable. We're all going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of our lives. And, of course, Romans 14, verse 12 bears that out. But the purpose of a periodic inventory is to determine whether what we are doing is profitable for our owner. And in this case, we're talking about the Lord. Secondly, the purpose of a periodic inventory is to assess exactly what we have on hand. You want to know, what do I have on hand? Sometimes things have been pilfered by thieves. Right? And you know, these store owners, if they don't do an inventory, they may think they got things there that somebody's toted out the door without paying for it. We might be oblivious to this without taking inventory in our own life. Now, who's the thief in our instance? The devil. He's the devil. He's the thief. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So sometimes things have been pilfered by thieves. Sometimes things have become spoiled or damaged. I know whenever I was working with accounting firms, one of the things that they would do was audit these commodities that schools have that would come from the government, USDA commodities there in the school lunch programs. And you'd have to go in there and count the inventory, but you had to pay attention if something was spoiled or something was in unusable condition. Well, you know, in our case, I mean, you think about when you've traded a biblical value for a worldly value. That's a bad trade, isn't it? Colossians 2, verse number 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, can allow the philosophy of the world and the way the world thinks and the way the world's values slip in and become our values, and that's not what God wants us to have. He wants us to have godly values, values that line up with the book, values that line up with the way that Christ would have us live. Amen. Hebrews 2:1 says that therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed lest the things which we have heard to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't let those things that you have attained. And Paul basically said the same thing. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We need to make sure we don't let some things slip. So sometimes things become spoiled or damaged. Other things need to be acquired that are needful. I mean, you might have some things that are missing in your inventory. Some things that need to be that it's not there, right? And we need to make sure that the things that we're told to put on. You know, the Scripture talks about putting on some things. And let's take a look at a couple of passages here. Look at Ephesians 4. You're there, just flip a few pages back from Philippians. You'll find Ephesians 4 not too far away. Ephesians 4, verse number... Look at verse number 23 and 24. Talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice verse 24. It says, and that you put on the new man which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. But, you know, there's some things that are worthless and need to be gotten rid of, right? There's some things here he tells us to put off there in verse number 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, that old behavior. That's what you're talking about. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So you put off that old man, put on the new man. That's get rid of the worthless, put on that which is that which is needed in your life. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So what do you do? Put off lying, put on truth. Makes sense, doesn't it? Be ye angry and sin not, verse 26. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, a lot of folks have given place to the devil. That word place means a spot, a space. As the devil wants to get a foothold in your life. He just wants to get a foot in the door so that he can get a grip in some area of your life and corrupt you. So some things need to be gotten rid of. Notice these things. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. So you put away stealing and you put on some labor. Amen. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You need to guard our lips, is what he's talking about, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That word corrupt there means rotten, worthless. And the thing about, some things that are communicated with the mouth just are no good. It's like, why did you let that come out of your mouth? Look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, some things that need to be put off, some things that need to be put on there. And we could go to Colossians. Colossians has a similar list in Colossians 3. I'm not going to take time to go over there tonight. But Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9 tell us some things to put off in our life. Colossians 3, verse number 10 and verses 12 through 17 tell us of things that we need to put on. But we need to know exactly what we have on hand to know what's missing, what needs to be gotten rid of, what needs to be acquired in our lives. Now, without frequent spiritual inventory of our lives, we will not please our Lord. We're not going to please the owner. The Lord tells us to consider our ways. Now, the procedure for taking periodic inventory is this. An inventory includes comparing what you have with what you should have. Okay? How do you know what you should have? I've tried to help you right here, okay? This is based on this, all right? And I'm saying this may have a few holes in there. It's not all inclusive, but it's a good start to your life. And we know what should be in our lives. The Word of God tells us taking inventory of ourselves is actually what our personal time with God ought to be about. Our Bible study, our church attendance. You know, when you come and the preacher preaches and, you know, the Lord reveals to you, you know, preacher says, but hey, you need to put on something, or this ought not be in your life. And you look at your life and you compare it to what the preaching of the Word of God. What does it say? And we need to search ourselves. The Lord wants us to search ourselves. There, according to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Bible study should be a search for the knowledge of the things of God that will help us personally do a better job of obeying God. Don't you want to do a better job of being what God wants you to be? Don't you want to do a better job of obeying the Lord? Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Now, unfortunately, we study too much of the time with a view to improvements that need to be made by somebody else in their life. You know, we take that Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Look at Matthew 7. I call it the... We have a 2x4 in our own eye when we're trying to get a piece of sawdust out of somebody else's eye. Okay? That's really kind of what he's talking about here in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5. "Judge not that ye be not judged." And that's not talking about that we ought not to judge. It's talking about we ought not to be judgmental. And if we're going to judge something, we need to judge righteous judgment according to what Jesus said. And we need to make sure we judge ourselves first. Okay, if you're looking at the fault in others and not looking at your own fault, then you've got a problem. "But judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote?" Okay, that's a speck. Consider it a speck of sawdust. Okay, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, a 2x4, that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, "Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye," and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so we see we ought not to study the Scripture with regard to finding problems with somebody else, but really ourselves. We need to see the value of God's Word in showing us things that we need to be removed from our own hearts and lives, and in showing us the things that should be added to our lives. The Word of God is the key to all of that. Now, there's a prerequisite to taking a periodic inventory. You know, no inventory is good unless it's an honest inventory. Right? I talked about those workers. You know, I've seen folks who said they did an inventory, and then when I got in there to count, I could tell they weren't really taking inventory like they ought to take an inventory. They were kind of no count. Most of us cherish a self-image that glosses over some serious faults in our own lives. One of the most dangerous things about being unwilling to see the truth about ourselves is that eventually it leads to our being unable to see it. Yeah. John 3, verse 19-20 said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." We ought to want the light to shine as believers. We ought to want the light to shine on our lives and illuminate those things that need to be worked on, and illuminate those things that need to be gotten rid of, and illuminate those things that are lacking that we need to add to our lives. We need to strive for honesty. Strive for honesty. that is willing to see ourselves as we really are. And indeed, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. That's how we really need to see. And when you let the Word of God do its work, it is capable for the task. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13 says, "For the Word of God is quick," means it's alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." So, we need to have an honest inventory. Don't take this list and say, "Well, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good." Okay? We don't even bother looking at it. You know, I realize when I make these sometimes that, you know, some folks, that's about what they do to it. Some folks look down here and may look at things and really not evaluate these things honestly in their lives and say, "Well, you know, am I guilty of the sins of rebellion and stubbornness?" Well, you know, I've not been rebellious. Really? Yeah. Can you honestly say you've not got an area of rebellion or stubbornness in your life? If so, praise the Lord for that. But you know, are you truly taking an honest inventory? Now, the plan for using the periodic inventory, when we take an inventory of ourselves, it's useless if we're unwilling to use it to better ourselves. Obviously, a good self-inventory may reveal some areas where we just simply need to do better. It may reveal some things that are undesirable without being downright sinful, you know. But the thing that keeps much of our self-examination from truly being helpful is that we tend to see things the way we want to see them instead of the way things really are. Am I right? That's our tendency. That's flesh, you know. If you walk after the flesh instead of walking after the Spirit, if you truly want to know the truth, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. And get into the book. Let the Holy Spirit of God reveal the truth, reality of the where you're at. Too often sin is a word that we like to apply to other people. And repentance is usually something somebody else needs to do rather than us. But let's get real. You know, we need help in our lives from time to time. We need to make sure that we are doing what we need to do. How often in our private praying do we specify actual sins that we've committed? You know, we get guilty sometimes of just praying general prayers for forgiveness. As if asking forgiveness, that's the humble thing to do. Even if we can't really think of any particular sins that we've committed. We are in a society that likes to just get it done and move on, right? We're fast food. You know, I want to order it, I want to get it, and I want to eat it, and I want to get out of here. Don't be guilty of having to a fast mentality with regard to dealing with the things that God wants you to deal with in your life. By that I mean, don't just kind of gloss over it. Take a look at it and ask for the Lord's help. None of us can really examine ourselves accurately and not find things that are actually sinful and need to be repented of, and that includes your pastor. 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, of course, confessing our sins means more than a general confession that we've sinned. It means saying the same thing that God is saying about our sins. That's what the word confession means. It's to say the same thing. If an honest self-inventory is not accompanied by a repentant character of one like David, it doesn't really accomplish very little. In 2 Samuel 12:13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord, And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sins. You shall not die. I mean, he admitted that he has sinned. You know, we need to examine our lives. We need to look at ourselves honestly. The philosopher Socrates once said that the unexamined life is not worth living. If you look in the Scriptures, you'll find the words, take heed, as frequent admonition in Scripture. There's no person who needs to watch out any more than the person who is sure he's doing okay. You know, if you're sure that everything's okay with your life, you're the one that really needs to look out. 1 Corinthians 10:12, ring a bell. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, you say, I'm standing, I'm doing fine. I don't need to check on anything. If that's your attitude tonight, you're the one that's in the worst trouble tonight. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It shows us what's right. It's for reproof. It shows us what's wrong. It's for correction, how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness and how to stay right, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, for us, Scriptures will not be profitable for reproof and correction if we don't use them to that end. You know, you have the Bible here, you got to put it to use, don't you? You know, if you don't use the Word of God the way it was intended, then it's not going to do you any good. It's kind of like a fellow having a gun. You know, if he's attacked and he don't pull the gun out of his pocket and shoot, you know, when he's being attacked on the other side, what good does the gun do? Right? A gun sitting in the pocket is no defense whatsoever, is it? The Word of God is our ammunition, so to speak, against the devil. And we need to make sure we're putting it to use in our lives. Why not determine tonight to make a fresh, thorough, honest inventory of the person that you are before God and make necessary changes to return your life to one that is profitable and pleasing to the Lord. Remember, we're all going to stand before God one day. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And one item of self-inventory I hope that everyone here will make is the admonition in 2 Corinthians 13:5. I trust that you're born again. I mean, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I mean, that's the first thing. Yeah, because you're not going to really have what you need in your life. You're not going to be able to fill the gaps unless you're really, truly born again. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobates. And so trust that this checklist that I've given you will be a help to you and that you'll take and use it for the purpose that's intended. Amen. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful new year. We're going to have a word of prayer here for our prayer list tonight, and then we're going to be dismissed.